Well, when I, toward the end of my vacation, I've been away for a little under 2 weeks, and it has been wonderful. But I looked at these scriptures, and I was really excited to see Jesus here endorsing periods of rest and refreshment for his followers. That seemed like a validation of my vacation time. So I was very glad to see that. And I wanted to just take a moment to look at the context of what is happening here around these two parts of this chapter that have been put together by our lectionary writers. In this passage, Jesus' followers, previously called disciples, here called apostles or sent ones, for the first time in Mark's gospel, are coming back. They're referred to as the 12. Does that evoke anything? Anybody? Any Old Testament Hebrew scripture references? So they keep being referred to as the 12. They've been sent out on a mission to participate in God's work to lead the way Jesus has commissioned them. He sent them out two by two. Don't go alone. Travel lightly. Go and teach. Preach repentance or turning from all that is not of God and toward God. He's been healing people. He's been casting out demons. They have come back, and they're excited, and they are exhausted. They're exhausted. I imagine it was very exhilarating, but Jesus learns they've been going night and day, and they haven't even had time to eat. I love that little detail. They sound like moderns there, don't they? Just working so hard at your desk, trying to get everything done, didn't even have time to eat. So Jesus invites them to a deserted place. What a lovely, lovely gesture from their rabbi, from their revered leader, still trying to kind of figure out who he is, but he cares for them, and he says, I see that you're tired, you haven't eaten, and I know that for your continued participation in God's work, you need to eat, you need to rest, so come away to a deserted place. I imagine just all the knots just went out of their back at that moment, and they started to relax. But lo and behold, the crowd sees that they're leaving and anticipates where they're going and runs ahead. And when they get there, the crowds are there with so many needs, so much pain, so many personal, psychological, spiritual wounds needing healing. And they're just like lined up. And I can only imagine, I'm human, so I can only imagine how I must feel. But I started to think about, I imagine there have been times in your life when you have been bone tired. You have been bone tired. Maybe it's only the Holy Spirit and coffee and chocolate that is keeping you going. How can I go any longer? I'm exhausted. And maybe you plan to go to an amazing retreat house in Santa Barbara right on the beach and with comfortable beds, and you could have silence and good food and pray the hours if you want to walk on the beach, and you're just getting on the plane, and it took everything to get there, and you get there, and in front of the retreat house are hundreds of people wanting to be healed and needing your attention. And just, I think that's probably how the disciples, now known as the apostles, must have felt. And I am sympathizing with them here. This is like introvert Hades. You know, I need some time. I need some time to recharge my batteries. Well, Jesus, amazingly, didn't say fill in the blank, but had compassion for the great crowds, which makes me feel a little bit guilty, because I think I might have had some other feelings, if I'm honest. But I think this shows his divinity, and I have to remember that I am not God. We are not God. We are humans that God loves very much. But Jesus has compassion for the great crowd, and even though I imagine he's bone tired too, he goes out and he teaches them, and he heals them. And the scriptures say, our gospel says, that his compassion came from seeing that the crowds were like shepherd or sheep without a shepherd. Now, does that reference evoke anything familiar? Sheep without a shepherd. We heard about those evil shepherds from Jeremiah a moment ago. And we had a psalm that I think many of us know, the 23rd Psalm, about the good shepherd. But also here, it's no coincidence that Moses also referred to the Israelites as sheep without a shepherd, as he is commissioning Joshua in the wilderness. And Moses announces God's promise of a future prophet. And again, we heard today's reading from Jeremiah denouncing the false and wicked shepherds who have not ruled justly, who have scattered God's people all over the place, and God promising to go seek out those sheep, those Israelites, those people, and to bring them back, and then to designate a wise and just shepherd who will rule them in a way they may never have been ruled before. One who will help them, who will rule justly, not for just his own interests as the Caesars and others rulers have, but will have the people's best interests at heart. We humans do need Sabbath or rest time. So important to be able to participate in God's healing work. And we need to trust also that God can work in our absence. God is at work, and God has a lot of people to use on God's behalf. But those times of Sabbath are so critical. And we remember in the story of creation, God resting on the seventh day. But that resting is very hard to do in our world. It was encouraging to me when I went to visit the Visitation Sisters in North Minneapolis with Lisa Weens Heinsohn and Cecilia Casprum. We went and we interviewed one of the sisters, trying to learn more about their work with a population in North Minneapolis with great needs. They have a door ministry where people are just continually coming and knocking on the door and wanting prayer and food and you name it. And but the Visitation Sisters put a sign up on that door one day a week, where they have a day of rest. They also, the liturgies, the times of worship and prayer always happen. They invite anyone who's come to the door to join them, but they never stop those periods of worship and prayer. They understand that those periods are critical to remembering who and whose they are, to getting the spiritual sustenance that they need to do the work God is calling them to do, so that they don't start seeing the people at their door as another person in need, but that they keep seeing the people coming to their door as God's beloved and perhaps Christ himself. I think another reference that we should pay attention to here is Jesus' mention of a deserted place. And that is significant because that deserted place can also be translated wilderness. Does that evoke any associations? So in some versions of the Bible, I think the NIV, New International Version, Jesus says, come away to a wilderness place. Well, for the Israelites, the wilderness was the place between Egypt, the land they were leaving, but that they knew, and the promised land. And it was an unknown place, an uncertain place, a liminal place, a place where they faced many challenges and struggles and needed to learn how to trust God. And God came through for them and God formed them in that period of uncertainty and an unknowing and needing to develop trust. And my hunch is that most of us live the majority of our lives in that wilderness place. We are desiring to turn from what is not of God, what takes up so much of our time and our attention and our our psychological and spiritual energy, but is really not of God, is not of love, is not of compassion, is not of an outward focus toward God's world. But we're not yet in the promised land. And so we're trying to figure it out. How much of ourselves can we give? So many needs in our neighborhood, in our families, locally and globally. What is God calling us to respond to? And what do we need to let go of and pray for, but trust that God will raise up others based on their gifts and passions to address those needs? And that is a hard place to be in. So Jesus is not only inviting his followers to rest, I believe that he is, but he's also inviting them to a place with no easy answers. But they must struggle. They must continue to say their prayers, stay in community, stay rooted in spiritual practices, so that they can continually try to wonder about what God is up to and what God might be calling them to do based on their gifts and passions. So, using a series of references that would have been obvious to his audience, Jesus as the long-promised good shepherd, the 12, and Jesus' invitation to come away to a deserted or wilderness place, Mark is trying to make the point that something exciting is afoot. Something exciting is going on. The kingdom is breaking in, and we have the new Israel coming forth, and Jesus is the good shepherd who will lead that new Israel to the promised land. So, I don't think when we see Jesus being so compassionate toward the crowds, we think, oh, I really need to be like Jesus. And we do want to follow in his way faithfully. And it is not an easy way. It is a costly way that asks much, perhaps all of us. But I don't think Jesus is calling us to be busier. I really don't. Have you ever seen that bumper sticker that says, Jesus is coming, look busy? Have you ever seen? I love that, but I think it's way off, way off. But I think God calls us each to one or two things based on our gifts and our passions, and that God calls this congregation to really focus, because otherwise we can just get so spread thin, we're no good to anyone. And to then continually be faithful to the spiritual practices, including gathering for worship together, to have our spiritual tanks filled, to encourage one another, to remember what we are all about and what we are called to be part of by God. But this is not easy territory. And together, we can help each other discern, think about way the few spaces and people we are truly called to help very deeply, very deeply. And I think these spiritual practices will sustain us over the long term. I've seen so many people get burned out with the best of motives, but I think God is calling us to focus, to go deeply, and then all along to have the spiritual practices, including Sabbath, rest time, to be able to remain centered and to participate in God's work in the long run. So may God give us clarity as we seek to discern when to serve and when to rest, whom to serve and whom to entrust to God's loving care and to the care of others. Amen.